The sixth aliyah of Parsha Shmini tells us about the animals that are kosher, and it begins with an instruction, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe vi al Aaron leimor aleihem, and Rav Shamsha Nafal Hirsch comments on the fact that here this instruction is given not just to Moshe, but to Aaron as well, which is striking, and he suggests that this topic of kashrus is so important that it has to be conveyed to both of them, and that Kedusha as a whole requires people who are not just instructed, but are trained for that purpose. And that perhaps speaks to the fact that when it comes to kosher food, we see that it is a mitzvah, but it's also more than that, and it seems to affect the soul in a different way. So, for example, we find that the Rama quotes in Yerodeya and Siman Pei Aleph and Siv Zayin that to have a nurse for a baby, even if the nurse is not Jewish and is not obligated in mitzvahs, but if she has eaten non-kosher food, then the milk may bring a problem to the child, thus conveying the notion that there's something inherently damaging about non-kosher food beyond its status of permitted or not permitted. Pasuk Beis continues with the language Dabru el Bnei Yisrael Emor, and Rashi comments here about the plural language that all of them, Moshe and Aaron and Elazar and Isamar, are all proper messengers on this point because they were all comparable in remaining silent and accepting the gzeira of the death of Nadav and Avihu. And Rav Schwab suggests that perhaps the relevance here is that these matters of Isser v'Heter, of Kashrus, involve such narrow distinctions that it requires someone who is able to appreciate that and to accept the Midas Adin, matters in which one may not necessarily understand and is willing to accept. The Pasuk continues to describe that there are different kinds of animals involved here, Zos HaChaya Asher Tochlu, Mikol HaBehema Asher Al Haaretz. And Rav Hirsch explains that the language of behema refers to an animal that is of use to man, a domesticated animal, and the language comes from the same word as bama, as a stage, a platform for his aspirations, one that is subservient to him, while achaya, a wild animal, has an independent life. But both terms, he notes, are used more inclusively because both types of animals have elements of both, and therefore a kosher chaya is one that possesses characteristics of a behema. The next psukim tell about the simanim that indicate a kosher animal, the cloven hooves and the chewing of the cud, and the pasuk has the language, osa tochelu, those you may eat, and that conveys what's known as a iser asay, a prohibition that can be derived from inference regarding all other types of animals, and that seems to be the primary source, as some Rishonim understand, for cannibalism. The fact that we can't eat people is derived from the fact that it's these animals specifically that we are permitted to eat. In contrast to people, animals are listed specifically throughout these next few psukim. We have many animals identified as non-kosher going through Pasuk Zayin, where we have the most famous non-kosher animal, the chazer, the pig. There are different theories in the Rishonim as to what the issue is, beyond it being a chok, the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, and Mem Ches took the perspective that this animal is unhealthy and disgusting, and the Akedah understood that it has a bad effect on the brain and creates non-Jewish desires. And there is a fascinating medrash, at least allegedly, that is quoted in some of the Rishonim, even though others claim that they can't find this medrash, that suggests that the language of Chazir, which is taken as the ultimate in non-kosher, is actually going to eventually be kosher. So the Shuvas HaRadbaz and Chilik Beis in Simon Tav Tav Chav Hei quotes such an idea from a medrash that is called Chazir because Asi Lachziro Li Yisrael. This is also referenced by the Ritva in Kiddushin and Daf Mem Tesamid Beis and also Rabbeinu Bachya here. So many question if there is such a medrash, but the Hachaim also mentions it here and suggests that the Simone Tara will someday be developed here, and the animal will therefore become kosher, because the Torah itself will never change, so therefore reality will have to change in order for the animal to become kosher. That itself, in addition to its shocking nature, would bring up some additional halachic questions. The Pardes Yosef has a discussion about why such an animal then wouldn't still be Yotze Min HaIsser because of its mother, and suggests maybe this would only kick in the third generation. The Chasam Sofer in Parshas Re'eh discusses, therefore, that a pig perhaps should be a Dover Sheyeshal Matirin if it will eventually become Mutter, and therefore it shouldn't be subject to the rule of Bittel. Some, such as Rabbeinu Bachi and the Rikanti, understand that this isn't actually literal, in that the pig will actually become kosher, but rather that the koach that it has to spiritually hurt the Jewish people will turn around. And the Radbaz suggests it means that we will have access to food that is as good as chazer in the future. The Kliyaka writes that the issue that taints the chazer is its deceptiveness, that it shows its kosher simen and hides its non-kosher simen. Therefore, Basal Radinsky in his Mishkan Betzalel suggests that in the future, when Malakol Haaretz Deya, when the world is filled with knowledge, therefore this won't be a problem. There are some svarim also that suggest that the lion will eventually become permissible, and therefore the lion whose presence is on the holy Merkava is meant to be a permissible animal, but at the moment it is considered to be disqualified because of its violent nature as a predator, but when it will stop doing that, it will ultimately become kosher. All of this is consistent with the idea that the animals that are not kosher are because of certain aspects of their character, and this is a topic that Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch discusses at length in his comment on Pasuk Dalet, the language of Tamei Hu Lachem, and there he suggests that the simanim of kashrus, or of lack of kashrus, are, as we would say in Lamdisha terms, simanim, rather than a siba, that they don't actually cause the kashrus, but they are indicative of kashrus. And that's why we have the rule of kol hayotze min hatameh tameh, because it's not actually about the simanim themselves, it's about the species. And if an animal were to not have these simanim, but were to be born of a species that does, it would still have the same character and would still be subject to the same rules. It's noteworthy in that vein, the Aliyah continues to tell us then the rules for fish and also the rules for birds. And among the birds that are listed as non-kosher is one called the Chasida. That sounds like a very nice name, and Rashi in fact tells us that that name comes from the fact, quoting from the Gemara in Chulin, Sha'osa Chasidus im Chavroseha b'mizonos, that it seems to act kindly with its friend in sharing its food. And if that's the case, the Torah Tamima raises the question that one would think it should indeed be a kosher animal. The Torah Tamima quotes alternative interpretations that maybe this is from the language of pritzus, and therefore it's meant to suggest something negative. Maybe it doesn't mean kindness. There are other interpretations. The Ishbitzer is quoted as saying that this animal, this bird, is kind even to those who are cruel, and that is a misapplication of this midah and the qualities that we have. The midos are only supposed to be in accordance with a Kaddish Baruch Hu's ratzon. There are those who want to suggest that the reason this bird isn't kosher, despite doing chesed, can be found in the word chavruseha, that this bird only does kindness to its friends, and therefore is limited and restricted in its kindness, and that's the problem. However, that seems to be a difficult interpretation, because all of us are limited in the extent of the chesed we can do. We have limited resources, and we are indeed supposed to prioritize those who are closest to us. So that doesn't seem to be sufficient to render an animal unkosher. So it would seem that the answer instead would be that just like all the other non-kosher animals in the understanding of the Rambam and others, the issue is that this bird is a predator. And the fact that it also does chesed to its friends doesn't change the fact that it's a predator. Just like we find with human beings, that one can be evil and a terrorist and still be nice to his friends. And that doesn't change the fact that he is still an evil terrorist. And so too, that's a crucial message to remember here as well that it's possible for this bird to be a predator and still do chesed im chavroseha. And I noticed this was also what was pointed out by my grandfather in a state from Meshivas Nefesh, commenting on the Torah Tamima, where he wrote that his question isn't really a question, because yes, despite the fact that this animal does chesidus im chavroseha, but it is still cruel to others, therefore still reinforcing this point that there are characteristics in these animals that are indicative of their nature, and that is a part of the lesson the Torah wants us to take in teaching us these rules of kashrus.